Welcome back, folks. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of In the Round with Andrew Taylor and Lee. Let's get right into it. You know who we're about to talk to? The former tax advisor for Morris the Cat. Lee, how you doing today?
Meow, 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 and put all your holdings into cat food. Meow mix, buy high, buy low.
Morris is nine lives. Come on.
Oh shoot! Yeah, I should have done my. I did no
I
show research.
Hey Lee, tell us how many Morrises has there been since the inception of him for the as far as the marketing.
Probably tons of them. I had. Do they still use them?
Yep.
Wait, and where'd this Morris the Cat thing
be the original?
From? Yeah, cat would be old as dirt, man.
All right, guys. Welcome back, though. We appreciate it. Today, before we get to today's topic, we always like to do a funny news segment, so let's get right into it. Our funny and odd news segment here. First story reads, headline reads, Ohio man forgoes food for 46-day Lent beer diet.
Oh, my goodness.
This sounds pretty crazy. February 19th, an Ohio man is marking the Christian tradition of Lent by giving up solid foods for 46 days and getting the majority of his food from beer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to, at the end of those 46 days, where you're going to need to be next, right?
The hospital.
Yeah, probably rehab.
Or that, yeah. So Del Hall of Cincinnati said his Lent diet includes only beer, water, black coffee, and herbal tea. And as of Friday, his morning weigh-in, day three of his diet, he was down 5.5 pounds.
Oh, yeah, he'll dump all kinds of weight doing that.
So he only has about 3 to 5 beers a day, and it's not like he's drinking it constantly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that'd be pretty crazy. He's just drunk all the time.
That'd be hard to do, man. Right?
Bloated and all. And
well, just fucking, you get
I like beer,
point,
man,
yeah.
But...
Well, yeah, it would be like, how do you've got to have some kind of solid food,
Yeah, and he said if you eat your standard diet, it gets boring, and you don't eat the same thing every day, So, I don't know. That's weird. I don't know how I feel about this, man.
Well, I don't think you could do it easily.
He successfully completed Lent beer diets in 2009 and 2020. And, or 2019 and 2020, and each time noticing the health benefits of the experience. He said he lost about 40 to 50 pounds both years, and he noticed his blood pressure and cholesterol improved.
Well, yeah, I guess it would, man. I mean, I don't know how you're... Yeah, I guess you'd be okay. I mean, I don't know what kind of properties beer has in it that would constitute as, protein and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But if you were supplementing it, because people do it. I mean, they go on all liquid diets, man.
So the next story we have here... Well, I mean, yeah, a lot of people go on liquid diets. It's called cocaine addicts.
Wow, that's called the Colombian diet.
Yeah. The yayo diet?
Yeah, the real Colombian diet doesn't have anything to do with cocaine.
Yeah.
It's just what you do is you pay some Colombians to kidnap you and not feed you.
All right, the next story here comes out of California. And this is pretty interesting because you remember the Phoenix Lights incident out here.
Oh,
right?
I've heard about it. Yeah, it was a big deal here.
Exactly. And we, living in Nevada, always heard, kind of the UFO stuff.
Yeah, the Area 51
blah, blah, blah,
and all the hoopla that comes along with it.
So this is an interesting story. And headline reads, Mysterious Lights in California Sky Were SpaceX Satellites. So check this out. SpaceX.
Yeah, Elon Musk, the rocket guy, yeah.
February 18th, a string of mysterious lights that set social media ablaze when they were spotted in the pre-dawn sky over California's Bay Area were revealed to be the result of a recent SpaceX launch. So Twitter users went nuts on early Thursday morning showing the lights that were spotted over the Bay Area around 5:30 in the morning. Theories included UFOs and other paranormal phenomenon,
of course.
Absolutely. So the cause of the lights turned out to be something far more terrestrial in origin. The 60 Starlink satellites launched into the atmosphere by SpaceX Starlink rocket 2 days earlier.
Oh, okay. So they were just getting the residuals of that is what they were seeing.
Yep. So SpaceX said the satellites orbit the Earth at a height that's 60 times closer than most satellites, making them visible in the night sky when they reflect light.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of cool, actually.
I didn't know they did that, man. Yeah. So that's neat, and that kind of runs hand in hand with the rover that just landed on Mars.
Yeah,
there,
the Mars rover.
I think they'll be seeing pictures from that real soon, man.
Yeah. So the company said officials are working on making the satellites invisible to the naked eye by tilting them away from the sun's light.
So people don't see. I wonder why they don't want them to be seen.
Oh, I don't know. Probably, all kinds of different different issues, you know,
maybe
military,
it's performance wise or something. They're afraid somebody will shoot them down or something.
I would imagine that would have to be part of it.
You got to think they probably go the circumference of the earth, so they probably go over some stop that people probably don't want to be looked at.
Yeah. Not so chill.
Yeah, I know in espionage books and stuff that I've read, one of the big things that spies like to do is to figure out how to track our satellites.
Oh, absolutely.
So they can know when we're looking at them.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Interesting stuff.
Oh, here's a feel-good story for you. Our next headline reads, Cat credited with saving Oregon family from dangerous gas leak. So check this out. On February 17th, an Oregon family was rescued, an Oregon family's rescue cat, sorry, the rescue cat rescued the family.
Well, that he's repaying the favor.
is being praised as a hero by her family after alerting the humans in the house to a gas leak that could have become dangerous. So Sandy Martin said she was playing at her Lake Oswego home with Lily, the cat. I have a cat named Lily, too.
Lily.
the cat she recently adopted from cat adoption team in Sherwood when the feline started sniffing at a fireplace valve in a way that struck Martin as unusual.
They noticed that the cat was sniffing the fireplace
thing. Back to it, yeah.
And they said, hey, what's going on over there? They probably went over and looked. Is there a mouse or something? And they go, I smell gas here.
Yep, the gas company
came
out.
That's good for the kitty.
That. Yeah,
the cat. I think the kitty was just trying to get high off the gas.
Damn.
Slow gas leak.
This is good.
Well, you know, when I was a little kid, I think you've heard this story before. My little sister and I, we were toddlers or whatever.
Oh, yeah. This is a good one.
At night, we had ventured out of the house like on a mission to run away or something. I don't remember exactly what the story was because I was very young. And the cat woke my family up saying, hey, the kids are outside. They caught us three or four houses down. But it was, 11, 12 o'clock at night. And we were probably
toddlers,
4 and 6 or something like that. We were both really little, man.
Yeah.
But that cat was accredited for alerting that, we had left the house.
That's crazy. The cat must have just went nuts when you guys got out.
Well, yeah. They were like, hey, the kids are leaving. Dog's dead.
Yeah. Lamp's running away. The next story here, the headline reads, this is really interesting. 911 call about dismembered body parts leads to finding mannequin parts.
somebody saw it. Yeah, I've heard this before. I think so we had one earlier.
We had like a similar one a few seasons ago. February 16th, the California Highway Patrol said troopers responding to a report of body parts floating in the water next to a highway ramp.
Oh, creepy.
They were relieved to discover the limbs and torsos were actually mannequin parts. CHP said a trucker who caught a glimpse of the seemingly grisly sight at Arch Road on-ramp near Highway 99 in Stockton called 911 to report the body parts.
You know, if you were going to find a body, that'd probably be how you'd find it.
Dude,
I was,
totally.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up.
Outworking?
One of my biggest, I wouldn't really call it a fear or a phobia, but like I always,
you don't want to have happen?
Well, I always figured I don't want it to have happen, but I figure it's going to happen someday, is those fiberglass shit houses that they put on the job sites?
Bathrooms, yes.
Yeah, the porta potties.
Yes.
For some reason, I always think I'm going to open a door on one of those things and there's going to be a dead guy in there.
Oh, man. That would be terrible.
I don't know why. I just always think I know I'm going to see that, because... or like today when I was dumping stuff in the dumpster, it's kind of empty, and I was like,
I saw a foot.
Yeah, I just look in there, and I watch too much Law and Order, is what it is, man.
It happens, though, man. That really does happen.
Well, me and a friend have seen it twice.
That's crazy.
Once in Santa Ana, where we across the street from we worked, some hooker got dumped in a trash dumpster, and then not more than about maybe a month after that, we were in downtown L.A. picking up a car for the company we worked for, and the LAPD had a dumpster lined off with a lady's leg hanging out of it, man.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was kind of like, wow, yeah.
Yeah. Well, on to a better story here.
Someday we'll do a show of nothing about people in dumpsters.
Right. Okay. Oscar the Grouch, you're first.
I live in a dumpster, man.
The first one, this next story reads, late businessman's dog inherits $5 million.
Okay.
His $5 million fortune. So February 12th, a Tennessee dog is living the comfortable life after inheriting $5 million from her late owner, who stipulated in his will that his money should go to his pet. Lulu, an 8-year-old border collie, named in the will of owner Bill Doris, a Nashville businessman who died late last year at age 84. Martha Burton, 88, a neighbor who often cared for Lulu while Doris was away, was named the canine's caretaker in Doris's will, which states Burton will be reimbursed reasonably for monthly expenses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you had a trust that it, there's another story that I saw the other day. It's been a while now on TV. Remember the guy from The Simpsons that died? Sam Simon?
Yeah.
he left a dog to somebody and didn't leave any money in his estate to take care of it. And the guy was out there going, hey, this dog is like thousands of dollars a month.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, adopt it out.
Would you leave any money to your pets?
No.
I think people leave money.
My pets are kind of assholes, so.
Well, I think a lot of people don't actually leave the money to their pets. They leave them to people can care for them.
Martha Burton, who's going to be the canine's caretaker, said, I don't really know what to think about it, to tell you the truth. He just really loved this dog. Burton said she is perfectly happy to act as Lulu's caretaker.
Well, and she's pretty old herself, right?
Yeah, so that's
cool. The dog's 9, she's 88. Yeah, that's exactly. A race to the finish right there, man.
Exactly. Well, all right, folks, we're going to head off to our first musical break, and we will be right back after this short break. Stay tuned, and we'll be back soon. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for hanging in through that short musical break. We hope you enjoyed it. Let's get right into the Just the Facts segment today. And to intro today's topic, we're going to include Just the Facts segment on it with it today. And you obviously saw today's title. It's called Burgers, a Global Love Affair. And today, the Just the Facts segment will be all international burger facts.
Ooh.
So we cover some of that aspect of things as well.
So it won't be International House of Pancake Burger Facts.
No.
Because, you know, they changed their name one time.
No, just burgers, you know, overseas. They're just burgers, man.
I'm just talking about burgers, man. You know what I mean? Wimpy thing.
So the first fact, we're going to go all the way over to Australia.
Ooh.
Actually, Australia and New Zealand, technically.
Ooh.
So Australia and New Zealand burgers come with the lot on them.
I read that.
So then that is on top of other things.
All the traditional
standard stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So the lot involves pineapple, sliced beets, fried egg, and bacon, built on top of a normal cheeseburger.
You know, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know about the beets, man, or the egg, but the bacon and pineapple probably might work. I don't know. I like pineapple on pizza, so, and you know what? I don't want to hear any shit from you haters out there.
I don't get the pineapple pizza thing, but right on, man.
Pineapple, pepperoni, and jalapeno on pizza is fire.
Okay. All right.
Fuego.
All right. I'm not going to argue with you, man. I don't believe pineapple belongs on pizza, but that's just my opinion.
Well, I don't. Okay, whatever.
Hey, it's a big wide world out there, man.
Anyway.
Who am I to judge?
So, would you try this burger, though?
Yeah, of course. I would try anything, man.
I don't know about the egg thing on the burger, too, man. A lot of people swear by it, dude.
You know, Johnny does, man.
Dude, I saw an egg on enchiladas the other day, okay? And that was kind of crazy.
You know what, Andy?
But they swear it's bum.
When I go to the mines out in Arizona, in Morenci there, there's a Mexican restaurant. Yeah. You know how much I love Chili Rellenos, man.
Yeah, do you get an egg on it?
It has egg. It's wrapped in an egg. It's almost like an omelet.
Is it good?
It's very good.
Awesome. Well, I can see
it's
that.
Not,
okay.
It's not like a fried egg. You know how you mix up an omelet?
You know, I have a feeling people are going to get really hungry listening to this.
I'm getting hungry listening to it. And you could tell everybody where we're going to go eat after this later on, man.
Oh, yeah, Portillo's.
We're going to Portillo's.
So, over in Tempe. We'll go check that out, and we'll give you a report on that on the next show. But anyways, moving right along to our second fact here in Just the Facts segment. East Asia, rice burgers.
Yes.
Rice patties replace buns, and the burger patties are compressed with shrimp, burdock, pork, and beef.
Yeah, I would do that.
Kind of interesting.
I would do that.
I would try it out.
Oh, absolutely. They look delicious. I was looking at the same pictures you were.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, wow.
So the next ones here that we have, India, chicken and veggie burgers, which makes sense because both beef and pork are not widely consumed in India.
No, they don't eat them. They worship the cow down there.
Well, you know, pork and beef. So
yeah.
Most chains, you know, burger chains are just... restaurants in general use chicken and veggie patties in meals. So like McDonald's uses chicken in their Maharaja Max, whatever they're called. That's what they're called, something like that. I'm severely butchering it, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure you are, yeah.
They're exactly like Big Macs, but with two chicken patties.
Huh, that might not be bad. I mean, they ought to try it here.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't with all the craze of the chicken sandwich over the last... Because you notice everyone's got chicken sandwiches
people getting
now.
Getting fights over chicken sandwiches.
Well,
what's wrong with you people?
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
I've had that sandwich. Hey, it's not worth getting beat up over.
To quote our president, Come on, man.
Come on, man. Give me a chicken sandwich. Our last president used to like Big Macs.
Yeah.
He liked them hamburgers.
Dude, Big Mac Attack is good now and then.
I'm going to talk about a Big Mac Attack
in
a
right now.
The Big Mac Index.
I love McDonald's. I'm trying to get that sponsor, buddy.
I'm trying to get that. Oh, I'm trying to get paid. Send us some french fries.
Moving right along here. Into the next one, China. And I don't know if you can't believe this shit, man.
You ain't even going
to
believe this.
Hold on to your chairs, ladies.
Lay it on me, Andy.
China, donkey burgers.
Yeah, I saw that.
Made using donkey meat, served in a flaky layered flatbread called a Xiao Bing. I'm probably butchering that too, but whatever. What else can we butcher today?
That's all right.
Along with cilantro, green pepper, and it dates back to the Ming Dynasty.
Okay.
So this has been around for something they've had in their culture for a long time. Oh, They're eating donkey, dude. That's crazy.
You know what, though, Andy?
Not to knock anybody or anything.
It's only crazy to you and me because we don't do it.
No, absolutely. I guarantee.
There are cultures that eat horse.
And I guarantee if it came down to it and the donkey was the only thing there at the and that was
it. Oh, yeah. You if you were hungry enough, you would eat the donkey, dude. Yeah, sorry.
You know, whether you're vegan or whatever. Not to knock on anybody's lifestyle or anything.
No,
power to you. But
you have the self-control to do
that. It's just not something
I'm a meat eater. So I'm a carnivore.
I can buy into or do. Also, Japan.
Kobe.
Japan is known for that, yes. But Japan, as far as burgers go, because I watch a lot of videos on Japanese lifestyle and stuff like that.
The culture. You're into the culture.
I want to go over there and check it out and stuff.
Yeah. You kind of look like one of them.
No, not at all. But, Japan is basically crazy shit that ranges from everything from standard American burgers to mustard and chocolate chicken burgers to black bun burgers.
Oh, they go nutty
and
over
huge
there.
Huge chili stuffed burgers. There's an array of everything.
You know, with the stuff I watch with you on the Japanese culture there, the food is what intrigues me the most.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, I could do it. Japanese food that they serve in America, so I don't know. I mean, and people always go, well, what's the difference between Chinese and Japanese? And there is a big difference.
Oh, there is.
No, teriyaki chicken from fucking China.
But I just think, I don't know. I would definitely even go for like McDonald's and stuff over there. Why not? You have to try it.
Well,
it is going to be different.
I would. Yeah, absolutely. Like when we were watching the videos of the people in Russia, you know, they have a thing on YouTube that you can get on and they have a commentator that comes on and says, he goes around and asks all these Russians, he's an American that lives in Moscow.
Yeah.
And he's asking these Russians what their thoughts are of Americans. And the answers are incredibly surprising. They really don't, you know, they really like Americans. And
cheeseburger.
And kind of why we came up with this
Boris
idea.
And Natasha come to America to get Big Mac.
Yeah. Everybody thinks that all we do is hang around and eat cheeseburgers.
We probably sound like a bunch of insensitive assholes right now, but they're just jokes.
I like the Russians, man. I was raised to hate the Russian people,
especially
you know?
In the 80s and all that.
Yeah. So I mean, and then once all that, you know, they don't seem like
I would
they're
love
bad
to
folks.
Go there and see it and all.
Oh,
that.
Absolutely.
And, but that is one thing you're 100% correct on. Dead nuts on is people in other countries think one of the biggest American stereotypes is cheeseburgers, man.
They all do.
It just is. Cheese or hamburgers, whatever you want to call it.
All the shows that we watched, the first thing, like in Norway, in Russia, in Sweden, they all say, what are your thoughts? What do you think about Americans? What do you think Americans really like?
Absolutely.
They're like, cheeseburgers.
Now, before we jump too far into this, we're going to let Lee is going to take over the reins for most of the show for the first time. So no,
you know it'll be good.
No, it'll be awesome. Yeah. So hang with us through this next musical break. We'll be back. It's a short break. Hang with us, folks. Stay tuned. back, ladies and gentlemen. I am going to hand the reins over to Lee, the former tax advisor of Morris.
Yeah, didn't Morris. Morris landed himself in a lot of financial difficulty when I was at the reins.
He had a really bad drug habit.
He had a catnip habit that we just couldn't ever kick. Before we get into our topic of the day, which is hamburgers, obviously.
It's the name of the episode is Burgers, A Global Love Affair.
A Global Love Affair.
Yours truly.
I named it.
Yes.
I named her.
This is his brainchild.
I wanted to take a second and have a somber moment for a loss of probably one of the greatest radio icons that have ever lived, and I'm a personal fan. I believe Andrew is a personal fan of Mr. Rush Limbaugh, who passed away last week at the age of 70.
I'm glad you bring this up, because, and one thing I'll say about Rush, and it's regardless of politics or anything like that, whether side you sit on, it doesn't matter. We don't personally delve into that kind of thing. But what I will say about Rush, and I said this about Larry King when he passed, and I say it about a lot of people. I have a radio background. I've been in broadcasting a while. Rush paved the way for talk radio in a way.
He kind of
saved talk radio in a way, for sure. And doing a long form show and all that stuff. People were doing it before him, but I mean, Rush, regardless of you like him or not, man, he's a legend in broadcasting, and you cannot deny him that.
And he was one. I haven't listened in complete transparency or honesty, I haven't really listened to much talk radio for the last year or so.
Yeah.
Just because I just got so tired of politics, and I don't really, you know, there's other things I want to surround myself with other than the world politics. And I'm under the impression if you surround yourself with bad all the time, things go bad. So, but anyways, not to get too far off.
We had to tip our hat to Rush.
Rush Limbaugh was always very, very interesting to listen to.
And is
very talented.
As a broadcasting perspective, broadcaster's perspective, you have to tip your hat to what he did.
Yeah.
If you agree with him
or not. I love the episode he did on Family Guy.
Yeah,
I thought
absolutely.
That was. I thought that
he did multiple appearances.
Yeah,
on
but the
too.
One he did when he became Brian's friend, I thought gave kind of a view that a lot of people didn't know about Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Absolutely.
But anyways, like I said, I just wanted to touch and say, you know,
he's
rest
right up
in
there
peace.
With Larry King, just in
absolutely.
That same
and we have lost some good people over the last couple.
And
of years.
And we will continue to do.
Yeah, they're all getting older. But anyways, not today. Today we're going to talk about hamburgers, man.
I'm going to get one right after this show.
I think I might do the Portillo's hamburger myself.
Said they look pretty good, so.
You know, I had the cheese dog or the chili cheese dog when I was there last time, and it was delicious.
I don't care, man. Yeah, both. This is America, damn it.
Yeah, you can have what you want. I can get both, right? But anyways.
Oh, I thought I wanted that.
Oh, really? I thought I wanted to get that. I guess I don't.
All right, man.
Just a little brief history, and this is not anything that's going to be factoided or anything. This is just kind of
it's a good topic,
man. The what people are under the impression. The hamburger was first appeared in the 19th to the 20th century.
Wow.
Which, you know, early 20th century. Mm-hmm. The modern hamburger was a product of culinary needs of a society rapidly changing due to industrialization.
Very
which
true.
People start eating on the run.
Very true, on the go.
That basically means. It means I need to be able to get food somewhere.
I'm working.
Yeah, as opposed in the old days, prior to that, meals were set down at set times.
Very true.
They said, you sit down, you eat now.
I kind of think that's kind of a problem in today's society, but that's a whole nother deal.
Well, yeah, there are things. I know what you're saying, that maybe families should eat together more and spend more time.
Yeah.
It's sad when you go
in
to lunch today with, because I do it every day. I eat in a restaurant of some kind.
That's good. You also have fellowship.
But you know what? You notice a lot of when you're in these restaurants, mm-hmm. most people aren't even talking to each other at lunch together.
They're on their phones.
Yeah, but that's, like you said, that's a whole other rant.
You have fellowship, though. Exactly.
Yeah.
Continue.
You know?
Yeah,
but anyways.
Carry on, my good sir.
Yeah. There's a controversy about where the origins of the hamburger actually came from. Some people, Germany claims it was invented in Germany, in Hamburg. It's definitely named after Hamburg, Germany. But there are also people that claim that the Germans who migrated to America actually brought the hamburger to America.
That makes sense.
But there's also people that claim that the hamburger was actually invented in America. We were the ones that started.
We always do that.
Well, there's some.
And there's some truth
there's
to
some,
that.
The theories, if you read them, I'm not going to go into both of them because it's too long. But if you look at, they both make a strong case to where they're like, no, this is actually what happened here.
I seem to have forgotten everything before 1945.
Yeah. Well, like I said, they called them originally, they were called the hamburger sandwich. And now, you know, there's a whole different origin of where the sandwich came from. It was from the Duke of Sandwich,
mm-hmm.
who didn't like, you know why he did it is he'd be playing cards.
He's in gambling. He's like, dude,
and
again,
he didn't want to get his hands dirty because,
yeah,
you know,
man.
A lot of them, you know, ate with their fingers.
I'm into this game for 50 large, man. I need to eat something with my hands.
He said, just put the meat between two slices of bread, and I can eat it. My hands don't get dirty. And it's the same thing Dexter did about the Cuban sandwich. You know, there's no better food because you can drive and eat at the same time. You ever eat a hamburger while you're driving down the road?
Cubans can get messy, though, too, the Cuban sandwiches.
Well, according to him, they don't. You have to take that up with Dexter, man. But anyways, the hamburger's popularity globally came about in the 1900s.
Yeah.
The late 1800s, 1900s, when they start actually selling them at the World's Fairs.
Oh, totally.
And stuff like that. And a lot of people say there was another thing at one of the New York World's Fairs is that they ran out of the meat that they usually made these beef sandwiches out of.
It's pulled beef or whatever.
The vendor had
crusty
none left.
Burgers.
So they basically took and said, hey, look, we have this chip stuff. Try, you know, this ground up chuck.
Yeah.
Try, you know, frying that all together.
Mash put
it
together.
In. They managed, and it got great reviews, and they went on down the road. Man.
Dude, man, I'm hankering for a burger here.
Doesn't it sound good now? So anyways, like I said, there's a whole, there, as far as the origins of the burger goes, there's some different theories about where they came from.
Okay.
Now, their commercialization came.
All right, here's the good part. Here's the good part.
And I want to go over this, and I'm going to talk about American commercialization of it first.
Well, that's why we did the Just the Facts segment. Yeah. International is to touch on that stuff, but we're not going to dive so far into it because there's some
countries that I'm going to go through that surprisingly consume almost as much hamburgers as America does.
Okay.
But first, I'm going to go over some notable people in the American industry that you know, made it. These people made what the hamburger is today.
What we know of it as
Americans and as human beings on Earth.
Okay.
Because most of these people now have expanded into global, you know, presence around the world. But the first one, this was interesting. And this guy is named Edgar Ingram.
Okay.
I didn't know this.
Edgar Ingram,
yeah. And he had a nickname, too. I think it was Wally Dog or something like that. But he invented the White Castle burger.
Oh, fuck.
Well, no, now listen here. Now, I know you don't care for them, and I don't mind them. They're okay. They have a place.
You want to see my notes? I'm going to show you a candid moment here on the show. Look at my notes. Next to White Castle on the list, only on Arrow, crap. That plus crap.
Anyways, a lot of people, yeah, that's really piss our Midwest fans off there. But he has been coined the father of the hamburger for America because he was the first one to have a hamburger stand that ever sold hamburgers.
I'll be a bare-ass monkey's uncle.
Yeah, and you know what? And to this day, they are still standing. We have them in Arizona now.
In Vegas.
And they're in Vegas, and they're all over the Midwest.
Back to the Midwest.
But like I said, you know, it is where, you know, grief credit where credit is due. And then, of course, you know, you have Maurice and Richard McDonald, which they started the McDonald's line of hamburgers, you know.
And then Ray Kroc came in and streamlined it. It's a good story.
It is a great story. And Maurice and Richard, which, you know, Maurice went by the nickname Mac.
Yes,
which is where they got the name Big Mac from. And if you, there's a movie out with Michael Keaton in it that's called The Founder that actually explains how this all went down. And it's actually
great
a really
movie.
Good movie.
Great movie.
But one of the things that's funny about it is that a lot of people don't know, and I'm just going to throw a little shade to where we live here. The very first franchise outside of California where McDonald's was outside of where were they at? They were in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
The very first franchise that ever opened, a lot of people think it was in California.
Mm-hmm.
It really wasn't because the brothers had opened a franchise already. And guess where it was at? Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, man.
The very first franchise. And that's just one little McDonald's Arizona history. And I'm full of it today, brother. Lay it on me, Andy. The second thing that people don't know is the very first drive-through McDonald's
was here, right?
Was in Sierra Vista, Arizona.
The reason they did it
out of necessity was there's a big army base out there by Sierra Vista. It's called Fort Huachuca. It's where our spies learn how to be spies.
Hey, man.
I've been there. Very cool. Been around since the mid-1800s. Awesome place. But the McDonald's that was in Sierra Vista, which was the town closest to the base to go eat off base.
Yeah.
You could the military had a rule you couldn't go into the local establishments with your uniform on.
So you could just swing through the drive
thru. So they came up with this idea. We can swing through the drive thru and get in. I've seen this McDonald's. It's the original drive thru McDonald's in America.
Is it all old looking?
Yeah. Well, they've modernized it. Yeah. But yeah. You know,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Man.
But anyways, moving on because I'm giving too much time. Here's something that, you know, you hear a lot of stories about the beginning of McDonald's or the beginning of In-N-Out or you know, there's you know, these kind of characters that, you know, but you know what? A lot of people don't realize where Burger King came from.
Delicious.
Love Burger King. I love all burgers. But believe it or not, Burger King was started by a guy by the name of Keith Kramer and his wife's uncle, Matthew Burns.
Okay.
And you know where it was, you know, it was made, it was opened, his first Burger King opened up as a Burger King in 1953. And you know where it's from? I never knew this.
Los Angeles?
Nope.
What?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, that makes sense.
Is where they started at.
That's cool, man.
And then, you know, they became the conglomerate that is now Burger King, which is part of Tim Hortons. And
that's cool.
It's owned by a big food conglomerate now.
Yeah.
There's, and then that brings us down to another one. This is something I did not know here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just doing some of the bigger burger stands. I know everybody's got their favorite smaller ones, your Shake Shacks and your Steak and Shakes.
Yeah.
And they're all good. Culver's, they're all good places. Robert Peterson, in 1951, opened up in San Diego the very first Jack in the Box.
And I was going to touch on this, okay, on my list, because I go to Jack in the Box.
You love Jack in the Box.
You know, yeah,
who doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, you know, dude, my thing with Jack in the Box is when you get good tacos, cheap tacos, yeah, they're spot on, man. And the Jumbo Jack with cheese is usually spot on.
Have you ever ventured off the menu and got anything
spicy
other than...
Spicy chicken sandwiches aren't bad.
Okay, because I've never done it.
I've done...
in my whole life,
the sourdough Jack's not bad. But you're thinking of Jack in the Box, though, you know, because it's fast food and all that. It's still fine.
Yeah, but I've never had, like, a teriyaki bowl there or
no,
nothing.
I've had people, like, with me order those and stuff.
I've always got the same thing.
But
it's always been a Jumbo Jack with cheese and two tacos.
That's what I usually get. Here's my thing with Jack in the Box. They're on their 70th anniversary.
Yes, they are.
So that's pretty crazy, man, to know. Like, they used to see them on TV shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, in California you did. Because you know what? They don't have a big presence in the East still to this day.
I don't know why.
They have some in Florida.
We have friends that come out here and they're I got to go to a Jack in the Box.
Absolutely.
Man.
But anyways, I thought that was interesting. I didn't know they were from San Diego. So
I've always lived by a Jack in the Box too. You know that? Come to think of it.
Well, you know, we did until they tore the one down by our house and they built that big Circle K.
Well, so now there's one not too far.
Well, it's not too far, but it's not as close as
a jam up the street, you know.
Okay, moving on to the next one. This is a very famous gentleman that was a big face of his company, so everyone knows. But you have Dave Thomas.
Yeah, Wendy's.
Wendy's Burger.
Dude, another place I fucking love Wendy's.
Yeah,
dude.
Wendy's is good. Dude, I remember back in the day when Wendy's had salad bars in them.
Yeah, I remember that.
Maybe
vaguely,
you were talking about the liquid diet earlier.
Yeah.
I spent 3 days in the hospital one time with an intestinal infection.
Really?
And I had to survive on all I was eating.
Frosties?
No, not at all. No,
oh,
just
man.
Liquids.
Oh, man.
Yeah, just apple juice and you know,
OJ.
Nothing solid. Because they want, and then I had to have what they call a lower GI, which is it's terrible. If anyone's ever done, will attest, it's not much fun, man. But I was at UMC on Charleston on Vegas there, and there used to be a Wendy's right down the street there. It was right across the street from UMC actually.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I got out of the hospital, I remember going over there because they had the salad bar still there, and I ate a bunch of salad and had a burger, but they don't have the salad bars or none of that stuff anymore.
No.
Do they still have the baked potato?
I think they do, yeah.
And do they still have the chili?
Yeah, oh yeah. Dude.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
My thing with Wendy's, I go to Wendy's all the time too, and I like their 4 for $4 deals and stuff
cheap,
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If you're going to have a snack during work or whatever. And then spicy chicken sandwich there is really good.
Yeah, I like
Frosties,
their spicy
cheese.
Yeah, their Frosties.
But their burgers are one of a kind, man. They're really not. Nobody else
you
does
know,
them. Like, the double stacks are great, dude.
They used to be cheaper, though, too. Yeah, they've gotten kind of expensive. And you know what? Wendy's holding company that owns Wendy's, I don't remember what the name of it is, also owned Arby's. And the Arby's was just terrible for a while. But ever since they spun off Arby's.
I'm so hungry I could almost eat Arby's.
Arby's has really put their shit back together.
They
I
have.
Mean, it's really not bad. Because Arby's was always really good. But anyways, that's not a burger place. But my next guy on my list is, you know, probably my favorite burger stand. If I had to pick one, if someone said, hey, you can only have one burger the rest of your life, I would probably pick this.
In-N-Out.
But the Snyder family in... 1948, opened up their very first burger stand in Baldwin Park, California.
Fantastic business operation.
Yes, it's the last family-owned business of its size.
Never had any issues at In-N-Out, and I've been given the wrong order at In-N-Out, and they still were like, keep that one, we're making you a new one.
I think a lot of that comes from they seem to hire...
Solid people.
They kind of pool out more. Yeah. They kind of weed through their employer pool.
There's some standards.
A little bit, yeah. And you get people that are a little sharper. I think they pay a little more.
They do.
So, but, you know, a little quick story about In-N-Out. When I was a driver for the Toyota Lyft of Los Angeles as a kid, when I lived in Southern California, one of their customers was In-N-Out's distribution center in Baldwin Park there, because all their corporate headquarters are now in Irvine, California.
Yeah.
But we used to deliver over there forklifts to them, and that place on Baldwin, on Mesquite Drive there.
Yeah.
Mesquite, I can't remember what it's called. Francisco Drive is what it's called. It's where the In-N-Out University was, and then they have a standalone store for the employees there. It's just a little walk-up one, and then they had their warehouse there. That whole place was so clean. You could eat off the floor in that. And they had a grill inside the warehouse where they would actually fry up burgers and stuff.
For employees.
Well, they were just kind of, you know, they seemed to have a lot of pride about
their
company.
Integrity.
The company is a very integral company. Mm-hmm. And it's very good, but.
They are.
And then there's other burger stands, too, that I didn't go too deep into. And I know there's hundreds of them. You got your fat burgers and your burgers and your, like I said, your steak and shakes and all
that.
Whataburger.
And they're all, Tommy's,
Whataburger, Big
Farmer
in Texas.
Boys,
yep. Hey,
Five Guys,
which we get Farmer Boys next month.
Yep. That's gonna be awesome. They're
just
a great
so people
place.
If you don't know, there's a new Farmer Boys franchise opening in Gilbert, Arizona, with two more coming later on in the year.
You know, it's another good place here in Phoenix, and I'm sure a lot of people know about it because it's old. Harvey Wine Burgers.
Oh, delicious,
fantastic.
Yeah. If you ever get a chance to get over to Harvey Wine Burgers, it's great.
Another place I wanted to touch on that has a lot of history with you, and it's a weird story how it all worked out. But there's a place called Jim's out in Surprise, Arizona. Jim's Burgers.
It's actually called Jim's Burgers and Eggs.
Yes. So, but they're basically an extension of the Jim's Burgers that you grew up with in Los Angeles.
Yeah. For people that are from LA that might, or you know, or people that aren't from LA might not know this. There was a chain of in the way these all came about. Just so you know, is in the after World War II, when the GIs returned home from the theaters that they were you know fighting in, mm-hmm. be it the European theater or the Pacific theater. When they got back into the States, you know, we had come through a recession and we were coming out of a war that lasted, you know, I think World War II lasted 5 or 6 years, you know. Yeah. And so when these GIs came back, they were able to qualify. A lot of them were able to qualify for a GI Bill or a loan.
Business loan.
Yeah. And at the time, the western part of the country was not as developed as the eastern part.
Oh, no.
So they were urging people to move to states like California, New Mexico, Arizona.
Come out here and populate this place.
Make suburbs out of the big cities. Exactly is what they wanted to do. And that's how we ended up with places like Whittier and La Mirada and, you know, places like that. And what a lot of these people did is they borrowed money from the government at very low interest rates, if any, and they started little roadside restaurants to travel along these highways that were being built that were interconnecting the whole country, you know? So that's where you got, like, a lot of your Jim's Burgers and your – well, to give you an example, Harry Snyder, Carl Karcher, and I can't remember the cat's name that started Farmer Boys were all buddies.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have they set up a cruise night where they would cruise from Baldwin Park
location.
To Anaheim where Carl Karcher had his burger stand, and then wherever – I can't remember the city that Farmer Boys is from, but it's in that neck of the woods, and they would make this thing, and they were all friends, and they started these burger stands, and they all – you know, just a real quick little history here – In-N-Out had a fire in the 70s at their warehouse that burned down half their warehouse. So to continue working on, Carl Karcher said, look, you can distribute your product out of my warehouse in Orange County here. And that way you can stay. It was after Henry Snyder had passed on and Esther Snyder was running the company and her son. And it's like I said, I don't want to get too far into the In-N-Out history because it is an excellent history. There's a book called From Behind the Counter that you need to read.
We could always do that on another show.
If you're interested in hearing about it. But moving on here, like I said, I don't want to leave out anybody's favorite stand. And if you have some that you feel I didn't leave out, you know, let us know.
Yeah,
and then, now moving on here, I put some countries here together that, you know, when you think of about cheeseburgers and all that stuff, you think of America. You think of baseball. You think of cheeseburgers. You think of apple pie, you know, Chevrolet or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And but you know what? There are countries that consume almost as much cheeseburgers per capita. Mm-hmm. Now, take into consideration these countries aren't nowhere nearly as populated as the United States of America is, but number one is the closest to America for consumption per capita for ground beef and what they would call cheeseburgers, hamburgers.
Yeah.
Germany.
Okay.
Which makes sense because I bet you can get some good burgers in Germany.
Oh, totally.
You know what I mean? Because German food and American food, other than what it's called, is really close, man. Number two, guess you probably won't believe this one.
What's that?
Greece. And now think about it for a second, Andy. All the good burger stands like that you've ever been in are owned by Greeks.
Yeah,
typically.
Usually.
Yeah. Usually, yeah.
Especially in Los Angeles.
Yeah, so it's kind of neat. Third, which I thought was kind of Serbia.
Okay.
Big butt burger population over there. This kind of blew me away, too, because they were so high up on the list being in the top five here of burger consumption. Because you wouldn't think this. The United Kingdom.
No, I can see
England
that, too. Yeah,
see, I always thought English ate like fish and chips
and meat pies and stuff. They have all the same stuff we have, too.
Yeah, but so it's got to be, you know, what's odd is I wonder, and I'm sure it exists, like, do you go over to England and do they have their version of a fast food place maybe called, you know, like our McDonald's. I know they have McDonald's there and Coca-Cola and all our products.
But similar version.
But do you think like there was English people, and I'm sure there was, that said, hey, we're not going to go to McDonald's, come to a country-owned one. Mm-hmm. Like, you know.
I'm sure there is.
McScuffly Pants or something like that.
There's one of those in, what was it, Russia or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
They compete directly with McDonald's.
And there are McDonald's in Russia.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. But and then right underneath the United Kingdom, Spain.
Okay.
Is another country that's big on, you know, and I'm assuming it's because of the American product, the iconic American products they can probably sell over there.
Yeah, a lot of it is, too.
Yeah.
With most things, I would assume, with other countries.
You know what? I think probably in these other countries where our Burger Kings and our KFCs and our Subways that do really well is because of the tourists that go over there.
Yeah.
You know, they go over there and you probably, because if you ever travel to another country, after a few days of eating, you know, their stuff, you kind of start missing your own stuff.
I want a Whopper or something. Yeah.
Exactly. Like if you spend time in Mexico, and Mexican food is awesome. It's different than it is in America.
Yeah.
There's not nearly the cheese and all that stuff
that they do with it.
You know, we've Americanized all that
totally.
Stuff. Totally. But after a while, I think that's probably why those restaurants do so well overseas. And then underneath Spain for cheeseburger consumption, Japan.
Makes sense. There's a lot of people, too.
Yeah. Not to mention the fact that the Japanese love American culture.
They do. And they they have all the same stuff that we have. But they also do a lot of other crazy stuff.
Because they have their ancient culture that they have to abide by.
And they always do some futuristic shit. I was watching them make
this
burger.
They're very progressive.
I was watching them make this burger the other day while I was at work. Yeah, I got time to watch people make cheeseburgers.
Yeah, that's what I do at work.
Sorry. But anyways, they were making these ground beef patties, and they were putting all kinds of chili and onion in them. And then on the inside, they were stuffing it full of actual meat chili, like ground beef chili. They were putting green chilies, onions in it.
Wow, that actually sounds good.
It was crazy. Dude, this thing was huge. Exactly, man. I'm getting pretty hungry myself.
Well, I mean, just to kind of wrap it up, I know we didn't do a very informative one on it, but we wanted to
throw out a little thing.
And you know what? Part of our show is you're not going to learn everything from us, so go out and read a damn book yourself, man.
Yeah, it should motivate you.
Yeah,
to go
I'm not
going to
sit here and educate
stuff.
You, man. I'm just giving you some ideas of something to look at, man.
Yeah, go out and try some of these places.
Yeah, and that's another thing.
Yeah, what's that? Go ahead.
You need to, it's something in life that you need to do is, if you haven't tried something, like, especially in the culinary end of stuff, don't be a picky pricky.
Yeah.
You know, go out there, and even if it's a little bit out of your comfort zone, give it a try, man.
Yeah.
You never know. And you know what? If you can, try to buy locally.
Yep, that's
true. You know, especially in these times. And I know a lot of people say, well, you know, McDonald's or whatever, those locations are owned by local people.
Franchisees.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's no shame in going to a chain of places, because most of them, all of them have people that live here that work here, you know, or work there that live here. So, I mean, but you know what? When you do get a chance, try to make it a point in your life a couple times a week to go out and say, you know what? I'm going to go try this burger stand or this falafel stand or something that's owned by a guy that lives in Scottsdale or Phoenix or Tempe or something, you know, barbecue place the same way.
Another thing, too, you can do is with shows like these, it's always opinions and stuff.
Absolutely.
Voice yours, man. Get a hold of us on social media. Follow us on Facebook.
Just be nice about it.
Follow us on Facebook at In The Round AZ. And then follow me on Instagram at Andrew Taylor Radio. And you can find Lee on Facebook at Lee Tonin. You got anything else to add to this for the day?
No, other than the fact that this show has made me hungry.
Very hungry. Let's get out of here and get something to eat. You folks, take care of yourself. Take care of your friends and family. We will see you next time. Tune in to us every weekend on any podcast platform. We are on all of them, man. Get us out there. Check us out. Also, we are on YouTube. Check us out on YouTube. Full episodes get posted there every weekend. Also, special clips, stuff like that. Just follow us, man. Get us out there. We're also going to be having some new stuff launch here in the next couple of months as far as merchandise, t-shirts, all kinds of stuff. So looking forward to it. And then when we can get back to live events, we plan on doing the show live from some different spots here in Arizona. So check us out, man. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great night, and we'll see you next time. Take care, folks. Oh,